We have several items today, so we're going to try to get through the agenda as fast and as quickly as we can, efficiently. We're going to take a couple of items sort of out of order to work with the administration, but we're going to ask the county attorney's office. We're going to take up item number 3, which is on the budget appropriations committee agenda. The outside council retainer agreement with the WITS group. Item 3 at number 4621. Jim, you want to...
Jim Roberts is here to address that.
Okay. Public Works Committee, that's item 9 on your agenda. Okay, everybody should know that Mr. Maizano, the minority leader, is on the phone. Jim, you there? Okay, we can barely hear you, but we know you're there. Okay. Mr. Robertson, welcome.
Welcome. I'm also here with Deputy Commissioner Chemka because this is council for her department.
Okay. Very good. Welcome, Deputy Commissioner. So this is we have had a retainer agreement with Greenberg, Troward Greenberg?
No, we haven't.
We had approved it, but they never actually
did. The board approved it earlier this year, but before we went to ANC, we were notified by Greenberg Troward that they were withdrawing because they had a conflict.
Okay, and no, John Nona, Legislator Nona, I guess myself, in terms of we reviewed this with the county attorney's office last week, but just very quickly, tell the committees your pick and why you picked this group.
Just for procedural purposes, I want to make a record that we went through Section 7 of the county's procurement policy. We not only advertised as we normally would on our county website, but we went on the advice of the airport professionals to the American Association of Airport Executives websites. They have several different publications. You'll note on page 2 at the top of the committee report that we advertised on several different dates. We got 6 responses. 5 firms that specialize in airport law responded. They're listed on page 2. After the responses, we reviewed each of the proposals. One of them was not responsive. That was Lyons McGovern. And Kaplan Kirsch, who had been our prior counsel going back to 2009, just basically priced itself out. They were $135 an hour more than the lowest other prices, which were running from about $285 to $300. Then we conducted there were 4 that we interviewed: McBreen and Kopko, Spiegel McDermott, Schneider Harrison, Siegel and Lewis, and the Wicks Group. Each of them were interviewed by a committee, including the airport property manager, Deputy Commissioner Chemka, and myself. Some were done in person, some were done on conference call. And then after the interviews, we put together an evaluation, and basically the WITS group came out the highest. I gave those to the litigation subcommittee, the totals, but McBreen and Kopko came out with an overall total of 19.2. Spiegel McDermott came out at 24.5, Schneider Harrison 20.8, and the WITS group took it at 30.4. There were 8 categories: experience with municipally owned airports, experience with grant certifications and assurances, experiences with ACPB issues that has to do with disadvantaged business enterprises, but specifically for concessions, which we've been having issues out of the airport on. Experience with fuel farm development, which the department's looking at. Experience with master planning, which the department's looking at. Experience with Westchester Airport, our price, and then the overall impression of the evaluation committee. And so that's how we did it. And they came out the winner. And based on that, we've made the county attorney's made a recommendation to you, with, of course, jointly with the department.
Okay, thank you. I know John and I reviewed this briefly, but a couple of questions. Is there anything specific that the airport has in mind in terms of legal work, or do you need someone on call as a counsel, or anything in front of you right now that you need
Yes, but I would have to go into executive session to discuss it.
Okay. Environmental issues. It's not on there, but you know, at the airport, watershed, you know, water quality. Are they, in terms of the overall analysis of them, I didn't ask that the other day, I forgot to ask, but obviously environmental issues are important parts, so are they capable of dealing with those?
Without getting into specifics, we did discuss that issue with them, but more in the context of overall planning.
This is part of the master
planning. Exactly.
Right. I mean, just as the, and again, I might have asked this the other day, if some environmental issue comes up, I hope you don't have to go out and find some other, you know, environmental expert law firm.
To be honest, we're not hiring them for that purpose. There are environmental law firms that deal with the DEC and with the EPA. We're hiring them more for their specialty in airport law. That was the purpose of this RFP.
Okay, well, that's good. Sorry. And one final thing for me, leases at the airport, which we do fairly well. Does the county attorney's office handle that, or would you farm this out to that law firm?
We would continue to handle that. We do right now.
So we're not going to pay them to do it.
Yeah, it's only when a regulatory issue comes up that we consult with our airport council.
Okay, any
just to add, I thought you went through, I talked to the county attorney's office and went through a very, Public Works and Transportation Department went through a very thorough process. The rates were, you know, we used Kaplan Kurtz, we were very happy with them, but they really did price themselves out. They're, you know, considerably higher than any of the other candidates. The Wix Group was a little higher on an hourly rate, but lower on the daily rate for coming up if they have to, because they're based in D.C. And a lot of these firms are because they do work with the FAA. And I think, as Jim made it clear, we hire a firm to do airport law, which really is dealing with the FAA and all the regulatory issues that affect the FAA. And they came out pretty highly rated in all the areas that are regulatorily related. So, I mean, I think we should go forward with this.
For for Public Works, and let me call to your attention for the Public Works Committee, Parks, Labor, and Transportation. The item appears as number 9 on our agenda that we were taking up jointly this morning with budget. The item, although it's listed on the budget agenda, in your summary as to what portions of the meeting are joint with other committees, it does not appear. It should be added to that top section. You'll notice those items for joint consideration begin with 4. Actually, they should begin with 3. 3 being the outside council retainer agreement with Wix. Any questions from Public Works? At this point, entertain a motion for both committees. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All right. Any
for both? Both good by Wednesday Williams, second by Wednesday Myers.
Any final discussion? Anything? All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Yes, for both committees. If it's passed. Thank you, Jim. Before we have 2 other items from the county attorney, and then we'll get to the public safety stuff, but I want to, because he has a very important place to go, I'm sure. Commissioner Hsu, John, will come up. We're going to take out of order items 9 and 10 on budget agenda, items 4332 and 4333 on the budget agenda. And I think these are on the
Yes. For Public Works, these are items 1 and 2 on your agenda this morning.
Commissioner, want to introduce yourself, and
sure.
We're going to be starting with both these items have to do with the Broad Street Viaduct in Yonkers.
In Mount Vernon.
Oh, in Mount.
The majority of the viaduct is actually Mount Vernon.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Introduce yourself and your colleagues, and tell us what you want to do.
John Hsu, Public Works.
Robert Abmont, Public Works.
What we'd like to do is we're proposing a CVA for RB-121, titled Broad Street Viaduct, County Route 132, which would now include a total project which includes both the roadway approach and the bridge itself. Previously, the capital was for the roadway improvements only. However, the bridge needs more work than the roadway. So we're proposing a CBA for an additional $1,560,000, which would bring the total project bonding request to $2,000,000. $10,000. It's a complete bond for both design, construction, and construction management of this project. The Broad Street Viaduct provides access between Yonkers and Mount Vernon. Approximately a third of the viaduct is in Yonkers, approximately two-thirds is in Mount Vernon. The viaduct, which is really a bridge, is one of the lowest-rated bridges that we have not addressed for bonding. There was a slight definition problem that was held up in another committee that we've since corrected by adding Locust Street in Mount Vernon as the end point of this project. The total project is 0.2 miles. What we propose to do is, if the board passes bonding for this project, I intend to design it in the winter, go out to bid in January, February, and as soon as spring cracks, I intend to put this under construction. It is next to Ashford Avenue Bridge and the Crane Road Bridge, probably the three worst bridges in the county. This bridge has had several notices of claims from concrete that are basically falling off the structure. For those that are familiar with this structure, it's almost naked. The concrete's almost totally gone. It's all exposed steel.
Any questions from members, budget, or public works? Anybody file any of those notice of claims?
Most recent was filed about 3 weeks ago. A dent.
Legislation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'm glad it was only a dent. The disrepair of our bridges is probably one of the biggest public safety issues we have in the county at this point. I'm happy to vote for this, and I am gratified that the commissioner mentioned Ashford Avenue this morning, because the people who go under that are all the people who drive down the Sawmill River Parkway and the New York State Thruway, which is quite a considerable number of people, and hopefully we'll be able to get them all moving very soon. Thank you.
I guess I'm not familiar with this project, but let me make a couple of general comments. In the five-year capital projects planning process, where this is a CDA, so you're asking where was this in your overall plan to be done? When would you have done this in our five-year plan? Was this in our five-year plan?
No, it wasn't in the prior. What happened was we had two separate capital projects, one for the roadway portion, one for the bridge portion. The bridge portion dates back 10 years? 10 years. Somewhere fell off the radar, all right? And consequently, we looked into the capital program. It made no sense to do the roadway approaches without doing the bridge, because the bridge is really the problem. So what we decided we were going to do was basically combine them into one project, which includes the entire length, 0.2 miles, which includes both the roadway approach and the bridge itself. So this is probably one that fell through the way the capital program was structured. We had started out with design of the bridge several years back, and due to arbitrage, we had to close out the capital. So therefore, we were left with no means of doing the bridge. So what this CBA does is it restores the bridge component onto the overall capital.
Okay, well, I know you were not the commissioner going back several years, but it does raise the question, I would hope, given this, that you and your staff would go back to see if anything else fell through the cracks. I mean, obviously, for the bridge to get to this point in time, from a countywide perspective, it's not a great thing. If it fell through the cracks, it fell through the cracks. I'm not, it is what it is, but I hope you would go back, because we used to get a list of all the bridges and all the roads and all the ratings, and so I would just hope that nothing else, you'll pick up anything else that might have fallen through the cracks, well, so we don't get to this point.
Right, based on previous discussions with the committees, Robert's prepared an entire listing of all bridges under five. We've identified within those bridges where the funding sources are, those that are in place, those that are in design. So we're going through that process with the administration now to ensure that with the next capital update, that we have nothing to fall through the gap.
Okay, great.
All right?
And this, that's good. Yeah, that's good. I know Chairman Ryan, his committee.
Yes, we've been going through that list. We've been using that list to basically identify where the funding avenues are, what the status of the funding, and where we don't have funding. And there are some bridges that are small little bridges, maintenance bridges, that we don't consider to be critical, at this point. So if they're lower rated, no one uses them, so to speak. And so, but we're going to redress those because they're low-cost bridges.
Okay, it might be helpful. I know, they're discussing in Washington now stimulus, maybe an infrastructure bank and all this stuff. It might be helpful just as a means of information, because earmarks are sort of dirty these days.
But sort of dead.
But the county has this, our list of our projects and our priorities.
we have at least three or four congresspeople crossing Westchester boundaries, and maybe just to, so our congressional delegation, House and Senate, is aware of the status of our projects and the need for that, and so as they debate infrastructure banks and federal stimulus money, you know, it would be nice to get some of that and let them know that we have needs and, you know, just...
Sure.
We've been so working with drawer would be helpful, I think.
We've been working with George's office relative to getting the information out to the congressional delegations relative to our needs.
I hope it gets out there. So, okay. Any questions?
I just would like, being I represent Mount Vernon and Yonkers and that region, I like to.
What, you named the Spreckin' Viaduct? Is that
sure?
You may or may want to take credit. Those claims come in.
You may want to wait until after the repairs are completed.
And after ribbon cutting.
Any other questions, Mr. Chairman?
Does the committee have any questions? CBA and the associated bond there?
Yeah, just to take the two items together. This is for design, construction management.
Total project cost.
$1,560,000. Now, let's take a motion.
That's the CBA.
The CBA, though, it's adding on to what was...
Right. So the total project cost is $2,010,000.
Right.
Stand corrected, yes.
So the CBA is $1,560,000. On the cover letter, refer the committee to the second full paragraph. At the bottom of that paragraph, you'll have a full discussion on the work.
I'll entertain a motion for both committees.
Budget.
Legislative Spectrum for Budget.
Move for Public Works.
Second for Budget.
Second for Public Works. Going on.
Budget. Legislative for both. Okay. We move second. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Both committees. It's passed. Thank you very much, John. Is that it?
Thank you. Appreciate it. Take care.
Okay. We now go back to the County Attorney's Office. Back to, we're doing the two items of the county attorney, then we're going through some public safety issues. I know we have some guests here, so that will be next. Jim, for the record, introduce yourself.
Jim Castellano, Chief Deputy County Attorney's Office.
Okay, so item one on the budget's agenda, this is Central Speech PC versus Westchester. There we go. Now, again, members, read through the letter. Legislator Nona and myself, I guess we went into executive session review and decided with the county attorney's office. If there are specific questions, we can certainly go into executive session again if it's your pleasure. But I think, John, if you want to, I think we looked at this and felt it was appropriate.
Yeah, there was a thorough audit done. This was a claim against the county for payment under a contract.
That's correct, yes.
Provided, and there was an issue as to whether the services were in fact provided and whether they were provided in a proper, competent fashion. And after a thorough review, I think the county concluded that at least a portion of the claim, substantial portion of the claim was recoverable, but not all of it. So
correct. It was originally $1.2 million.
And we're settling for $584,000. So exactly. We found that about half of the amount claimed was not due, but the other amount is due, and the settlement is based upon that amount. And
that's absolutely correct. Right. Thank you.
Any questions on that? If not, I think this is adjusting from the budget. If not,
it's only the budget.
I'll entertain a motion for the budget committee. Spreckman, second. Thank you, Mr. Lewis. No other questions on Central Speech Language Pathology PC versus the county? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Passed. Okay. And the second item, second suit settlement, is WCON versus Westchester County. Do you want to just briefly explain?
Sure. There was a construction project that a worker was injured when a rather huge piece of plexiglass weighing somewhat near 300 pounds fell on his leg, crushing injuries, extensive surgery after, and the like. And the county was found liable after summary judgment motions were in, and the county settled this case, we believe, appropriately given the county's liability, the nature and extent of the injuries, and potential for significantly larger litigation costs and recovery down the road.
Again, the litigation committee Jonathan, you, there's specific strict liability laws in this area, and even though the county wasn't directly involved because of these strict liability laws, we are subject to certain liabilities if it's found. John, you want to again?
And John, this settlement certainly makes a lot of sense because there is strict liability. The contractor's out of business, as I recall.
That's correct.
I did ask the county attorney and I did ask Mr. Castrobanco to look into one aspect that the county may have a claim against an insurance broker who provided us with a certificate of insurance that apparently was not valid. And there's some real issues of whether the broker was, in fact, the agent of the insurance company whose certificate they gave us. So there may be, we may be able to recover some of this from the broker, and Mr. Castrobanco and the county attorney's office is going to look into that as to whether we could plead a viable claim against that insurance broker for giving us a certificate of insurance, saying we were an additional insured under an insurance policy, which apparently didn't exist. So hopefully you can look
into
that.
We will absolutely do it.
The county relied on that.
And we relied upon it. And we get these certificates all the time, so we've got to be careful. If we're relying on those certificates and they're not being properly issued by a broker, we've got to be able to assert that we've got a claim. Thank you.
Again, we went into executive session, we reviewed this, but we're willing to do that again. If people have any questions, we can certainly go back into executive session, but it's, I think John laid it out, it's in my opinion. Sheila, did you have a question?
I just had a general question.
Sure.
With regard to something legislated known ahead and possible, you can answer that. Does the county follow up on those, or is it just the number two, you know, numerous to call every broker to verify that it's a valid certificate?
I think that Mr. Hsu, who just left, would probably be the better person to ask that question.
I'll speak online.
As a matter of course, in collecting the requirements of the contract, including the certificate of insurance.
I will say, in hearing the story, we encourage the administration that whatever they've been doing in the past and the future to
of course,
try
of course.
To the extent possible, not just take the paper and rely, but then look at legislation.
To that point, thank you, Mr. Chairman. How often does this happen? Is this an isolated incident, or does it happen with a certain amount of regularity?
In terms of the number of actual loss, I mean, I think this is one of the very
in terms of a faulty certificate.
This is the first one that I personally am aware of. I do not know of any other pending litigation where this is an issue.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I assume it's pretty rare. It wouldn't come up until there's a claim. So if there's no claim, you'd never have a
I think the answer is there may have been other times where it was a bogus policy. But
this is the one time we got it.
Right. The job went ahead. It was fine.
I would suspect it's pretty rare.
Yeah. And let's remember that risk management is part of the county attorney's office. So somewhere between the department's public works, I assume they work with risk management. But we made the point that maybe we got away with it almost up until, but this highlighted the possibility that a certificate that comes in and there's no policy behind it, then we encourage between risk management and departments to kind of put some procedures in place, trying to make sure there's a real policy there. But you're right, we don't really know what happened in the past, but this lawsuit did. Any other questions we're prepared
John
to vote on?
I'll
entertain. In public works can pursue that with the departments as down line. I'll entertain a motion for budget to pass this. Legislator Marcotte, seconded by Legislator Spreckman. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that lawsuit is settled as well. Jim, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got one item on the agenda for public safety, so I'm going to call 10:37. I'll call the Committee on Public Safety and Security to order. Sign this. Item four, then we're going to bring up our guest we have here today. Item four on the budget agenda, along with public safety, is an IMA traffic enforcement programs for local municipalities. Commissioner, so you're in charge of this one, huh?
Yeah, the commissioner's away for a few days, so you put me on the hot seat.
Okay. All right, you've got the well, your colleagues, will you please introduce yourself and your colleagues to people watching at home?
Deputy Commissioner Joe Yuzinski, Department of Public Safety. Captain Tom Gleason, Chief John Hodges, Mayor Chief Barbara Peterson, the mayor from DPW.
Okay, is this the public? I mean, this is public safety.
Public safety.
Okay, this
It's a five-year IMA commencing October 1st. Commissioner, do you want to tell us what we'll be doing?
It's called the STEP grant. That's an acronym for Selective Traffic Enforcement Program, as administered by the state. This grant is with the Department of Public Works, actually, so the IMA is with them. This is a program that's probably been in effect for over 10 years now, and it's come up for renewal at this point. It's for aggressive driving enforcement. So as far as the IMA is concerned, I'll let Mr. Mayo talk about that.
The IMA from the previous 5 years expires. This grant is on the federal fiscal year beginning October 1st. So we are looking to renew the IMA so that the county police department and all police departments actually can participate in the next 5 years.
Maybe someone can tell us briefly the not the effectiveness of the last 5 years, how the cooperation with the municipalities and how the program worked. Did everything work according to your expectations?
Oh, that's Captain Gleason.
Captain Gleason.
As far as public safety, the program has worked very well. I can speak to the other municipalities. I mean, DPW administers the funds to the other municipalities. Although, like I said, we get our portion, and it's been a good tool for us.
Is it like a roadblock you set up?
Maybe Captain can tell us what the county does.
What you do with a joint, you do it on your own.
For the most part, we do it on our own, but occasionally we'll work with some of the locals as well and do joint details. This in particular grant is, as Deputy Commissioner mentioned, it's for speed and aggressive driving. So a little different than some of the other ones, which are easier to do jointly, like a DWI. We could set up a roadblock with, in various jurisdictions. But these we've done, for the most part, on our own, and we've had good success. Although, like I said, from time to time, we do get involved with some of the locals and do joint efforts as, speed enforcement and things of that nature.
Want to say, Mom?
Yeah, two questions. One, so is our activity restricted to the highways that we patrol, the Sawmill, the Hutchinson, or do we do county roads apart from those?
Mainly the highways, but now, of course, we invented into contract with some of the municipalities, so we'll do some enforcement in the town of Portland, we'll do some in the town of Ossining. We actually were given the money that had been appropriated for the town of Ossining after the merger, so we got that additional funds, and we've done details there as well.
But a lot of times what we try to do with this program is not a lot of money, but what this program does is it supplements our ability to go out and do the selective traffic enforcement programs. And generally what happens is we track accidents, we track episodes of aggressive driving. So when we have contemporary issues that come up, where we have accidents, we find that we have a dangerous situation, we find that we have had an incident happen that needs a corrective enforcement action. That's really what this is geared for.
So you focus on a certain area where you've had accidents,
a certain area, problems, or we will work with a local municipality if they have an area of concern that, say, runs along a portion of area that we patrol. So it's been very effective.
Just follow up with two more. One issue that's come up, and I don't know if this is technically within this grant program, but one of the big problems with traffic is when the Sawmill River Parkway closes because of flooding and there's traffic all over the place. I don't know if any of these monies could be used for that, but it might be worth considering.
We could consider it with that program or with that particular situation. We'd be more than happy to sit with you and discuss that.
Okay, I asked the municipalities involved, Mount Pleasant, Pleasantville, maybe to get in touch with.
We've tried to develop strategies, and we continue to tweak them and change them to be very proactive when it comes to how we manage our traffic control points, when we close traffic, where we close it, and where we move it, because that's a separate issue, I think, certainly be willing to talk to any municipality.
And then a question for Public Works. How do you determine which municipalities get funds? Do they have to submit a grant proposal or a proposal in order to get the money as to what they're going to do with the money?
We just send out a call letter to all police departments and ask if they want to participate in the program. All of them do. And the funding that they receive is determined by the state. It's not determined by us.
So do they have to submit a proposal to the state then to get
it? To Public Works,
right.
The Traffic Safety Office. These grants are funded from the New York State Governor's Traffic Safety Committee. Mm-hmm. Has to go through the Traffic Safety Board.
Okay, so do they give you a proposal as to what they're going to use the money for that then gets transmitted to the state to make it?
Generally, yes, they would determine how the money is used themselves because we feel they know their communities, they know what roads are important, they know where the accidents are, et cetera. We just let them know how much they've been funded. But the overall grant is obvious to reduce fatalities,
right.
Injuries,
question is,
and
we have
crashes,
a certain
right.
pot of money,
overall.
And how is it determined who gets what portion
the state
of that
has
money?
A formula.
Okay.
The state's formula.
So they decide. We don't decide that. They decide.
It's by the size of the department. Okay. It's by their previous record and grant. You know, it's a whole formula. I'm not familiar with each part of the formula, but the state determines the formula.
If I could, I think this is a form we need to complete when we're applying for the grant. Basically, we're telling them the size of the department, how many officers we have, and then they ask for stats on our accidents and our enforcement. And that all goes into the equation when they're going to determine how much money we get.
We collect all of those and submit it to the state.
And then they decide.
On the behalf of all the police departments.
Okay. And then they decide how to dole out the money. Okay, thanks.
I assume this overtime money goes towards overtime work?
Yes.
Because I'm just so it's clear to everybody at home, it makes it clear to me that on a daily basis, aggressive driving, speeding, are also out there enforcing across the board anyway. This is extra
above and beyond. Right?
This is additional.
Yes.
This is in specific areas where there are specific problems. Yeah. So above and beyond the normal police work. We don't only do this just
correct. And just to give another example, you know, we had some complaints in the town of Ossing of people passing stopped school buses. So that could fall into this as far as aggressive driving goes. So we could send a couple officers out on overtime during the time the buses are out there and look for people passing the school buses.
That sounds good. Okay, and this is renewing the IMA. Any questions for anybody? Mary Jane, Legislative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted... You know, this is a conversation that may be best have had quickly offline, but there have been certain areas where I drive fairly regularly that it seems as if the number of people who are passing on the right, which is one of the most dangerous things you could do when you're on a highway, seems to have gone up quite a bit, particularly on the Springbrook Parkway.
It's interesting. There's a couple of issues regarding that. One is the county police and the New York State Police primarily do the highway patrols. The Springbrook Parkway and the Taconic fall under the purview of the state police. Interestingly, those are three-lane highways versus a lot of the parkways that are two lanes. But certainly, if you want to send us some correspondence about that, we can discuss it with the state police.
Okay.
And as well as, you know, we entertain, and part of this is entertaining. We get email complaints, telephone complaints, and we'll address our traffic enforcement strategies accordingly. So we can certainly mention that to the state police.
Oh, that would be
great. It is certainly a problem. People passing on the right, as you said, especially at a high rate of speed.
Yeah.
Is that 170,000 annual? Is that annual money, or is that
yes, annual? Yes, annual. Every
as far as you know, the state has not taken that money away. This money is
right. Yeah.
As far as I know, that is fine.
They can sweep that out like they sweep all the other funds. Okay, good.
Yes.
Move by Mr. Noda for public safety.
Move for budget.
Move for budget by second. Mr. Harkin. Second by Mr. Myers for both.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so it's moved. Second by both committees. Budget and public safety. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You got your IMA approved. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have one more item that's not on the agenda for public safety, and then we'll adjourn after that. But just so the members of the Public Safety Committee know, we had planned on having a discussion this morning at 9 o'clock on inmate health care with the commissioner, with someone from that Tennessee-based care company. To go over it. They've been there over a year now. And we had planned this out for a while to have a good discussion as to what's going on and who's in charge and all that stuff. Everybody's out at some conferences and conventions, so I certainly agree we're not going to talk to an empty chair to just put off that meeting on the inmate health care. I did ask quite
strongly that the documents, the semi-annual reports and monthly reports that are due under the contract with this outfit be delivered to the committee today. And if not, I would get very angry. My understanding is the documents are on their way. Hopefully we will have them before the end of the day. So I'll keep you noticed of that. But there was another item that we would have raised with the commissioner, and that has to do with a farm that has been, some land out at the jail that has been farmed for, I'm not quite sure how many years, by, I gather, some of the inmates, and that local produce has been helpful to the food bank and maybe some other areas. That program has been discontinued. John, you want to introduce that?
Well, why don't we have the representative?
Okay, we have representatives, I think, the food bank here. Yeah. Gentlemen?
This is a very good topic that the legislator Nolan has made arrangements for us to hear about. I think it's going to set the scene for
supposed to be on the 9 o'clock agenda.
Part of our upcoming meeting with the department.
Okay. So, gentlemen, please introduce yourselves and welcome.
First, I'll introduce Dan Brady, who coordinates all of the programs for the food bank. I'm a volunteer, and I manage the garden for the farm.
And your name is?
My name is Bill Scazzaro.
Okay, because we stream live, so folks at home could be watching. So
right, put your name on the record. Could be a couple up in Peekskill sitting down and enjoying their final cup of coffee this morning, and they may be watching you as you speak.
Oh, you're not being facetious, but you're not.
No, it's really.
You're on camera. Well, so you want to explain your program, but specifically its relationship to the jail. Go ahead. Well, one of you gentlemen, tell us about it.
I'm also a volunteer at the prison. I'm a retired BOCES guy, and I worked for 3 years in the prison at the high school there. I coordinated the programs at the prison, and so when the previous administration offered us some land inside, I was asked to make it happen. And the DOC program then, at the time, was a construction dump. And we got all the construction debris out of there and a lot of... Anyway, that was years ago. Now we have a really healthy soil there. We grow thousands of pounds of organic vegetables, which are given to us at the food bank, and then we distribute them to 227 member agencies that the food bank has. Prison doesn't get any of the food, except we do have program where we let the inmates eat some of the food and grow certain things, because Bill, one of Bill's things is teaching them how to garden.
Yeah.
I want the food. Bill wants to teach them how to garden. So we have both agenda going at the same time. The model at the prison was so successful initially that after it hit the press, I got calls from Woodfield Cottage, from Edenwald School, from Lincoln Watts. So now we have 6 sites around the county. We just started one at the Land Trust in Bedford Hills, where we're growing a half acre of vegetables too. So this model that was started because of the corrections people is now, and I have more sites that I can't tell you about that we're going to have next year because of the success of this program. The issues that they have at the prison are, I guess it's funding. Probably is, because a CO, correction officer, has to be assigned to the work group. And also getting inmates from inside to outside, there are certain approval criteria, which I'm not aware of. But we have, our problem is, one of the reasons we would like to discuss this is, we don't have enough help. We have an acre of land, but we don't get the inmate help we need.
Now, this land is outside the wall.
It's inside the fence.
It's inside the fence.
Inside the fence, and inside the fence, there's a 10-foot barbed wire fence. So, in the fence. So, once the inmates and Bill and are inside the garden fence, it's an acre fenced in, inside the prison.
And what happened, the corrections facility, the corrections people, the commission, had taken away the officers, you don't know. Oh, no, they took away the inmates.
I don't know if it's actively taking them away or they haven't assigned them because they don't have enough. I don't know the answer to that.
But the bottom line is you're not getting
the help you need.
help from inmates.
Correct.
People actually do the planting, the gardening, right. The picking, or whatever.
And there could be different reasons for that. I wish corrections people were here because they could answer that for me.
Well, legislator Nona was going to ask them this morning.
I was going to ask them myself.
We'll make note of the questions because they will be in shortly, and these.
Good.
These questions will
put if it's a budget issue and they can't afford the COs because it's post, you know what posts are. Mm-hmm. So if that's a posted position,
sure.
Then that's an issue for them to figure out. Mm-hmm. However, there are COs across the driveway from here to the map over there all the time. So I'm not sure we need a CO inside the fence or next to the fence. And there are COs driving around every 5 minutes.
But is there someone from the food bank in there overseeing?
Not staff person. Is that Bill?
So Bill, you're actually there with the inmates. Are you teaching them?
Right. And sometimes they'll show up expecting to have work done, and there's nobody there.
When did this happen? When did this change take place? Telecommunity, when this happened?
When does the what?
Well, obviously this program was ongoing. It seemed to be working. You're expanding. You had inmates. At some point in time, inmates stop showing up, I gather. When did this change take place to bring you this concern? 6 months ago, a year ago? When did?
Well, all of the aspects of the program are working. Our concern is that the timing of the availability of the inmates sometimes doesn't coincide with what has to be done. In the early spring, for example, we've got to get the place in order, prepare the soil, and plant the seed. And maybe that would be the time when we don't see the inmates. It isn't that we don't use the inmates, but you can't run a garden if we don't have consistency. And that's what we're trying to portray to you people, that we have to have a commitment whereby we can be assured that we can get the garden planted, we can get the garden cleaned up, we can harvest at the time when those things have to be done.
It's a coordination. So you're not saying you haven't been sort of turned down from the program.
Correct.
We have a great relationship.
Yes, but have you had meetings with the commission? I mean, has this been dialogue?
No, we deal with
the supervisory staff says it's not their call.
This is a great relationship, incidentally. They do cooperate, but it's the commissioner that tells the CO, that's where we work out of, if they can have an inmate, or two, or three, or ten. And he has to do what the commissioner says. And it appears that we're not on the priority list.
Well, there's a plan B and a plan C, if I can get into it real quick. Plan B would be, there are community service people who are assigned to, people assigned to community service. If they can be allowed to come in, not inside the facility, just inside the fence, inside our fence in the fence, then we can get people who are not inmates, but are court adjudicated to do community service.
Probationers,
whatever, I don't know the nomenclature, but that's who they are. They have to do something, and they could do it for us. And this is for the food bank. It's not like I'm asking them to do me a favor.
Well, you're right, and not only that, I mean, again, we'll have the commissioner to find out why, but having met with Commissioner Posey of probation, his complaints to me have been, he has a lot of people through the courts, as you say, assigned to community service, but what I had never understood with that community service has to be at county facilities.
Has to be.
And they don't have, and his problem is he doesn't have enough county facilities, so this would be a perfect
fit. Well, Rocco used to be the commissioner of corrections. Yes. So he would know whether or not these people can do both. The question that I think that the current commissioner of corrections would say is they have to go through a security thing, and I don't want these people in my prison. Because who knows what they're going to bring in. Legitimate concern. But they can be addressed.
Okay, well, I think at this point in time, we've heard the issues. I'm a little concerned about the communicate. Say they
the corrections, the administration has been helpful, they're good, the program works, except they're ready to come out in December, but the harvest was in October and they missed the picking. You know, we got to get some coordination. People have to be available when the seasons call for the planting and the harvesting. And so it sounds like we need some.
Yeah, I'd like to make the point that we've really got this thing going good. And in terms of, you know, I'm approaching 85 and a war veteran, and I appreciate the interest that the county has, but I don't think that the commissioner is that serious about it. Now, I'm a graduate of, I'm an Aggie from Cornell, and I have a BS and an MBA. I'm retired. And we can do the job. We just want to do it better.
Okay, well, I think the committee hears you. We appreciate you coming in. We appreciate Legislator Nona inviting you and getting in here. And now that I think the committee understands what your concerns are, when we have the commissioner in, hopefully relatively soon, we certainly will put these questions to him and try to get you.
I appreciate that.
I just had a tour of a facility from the Berkeley County Sheriff's Department. They want to do the same thing.
It sounds like you have a model that could be replicated really across the country.
That's a great idea. Yeah. What Westchester's doing was started like 11 years ago.
Yeah. So we certainly appreciate the volunteer work and the work that you and your folks do. It sounds great. We want to help you try to get it accomplished.
Thank you.
And we want to thank John for getting us on the agenda.
So, well, yes. We're happy to have you. We're sorry
next time we'll get the commissioner.
Sorry the commissioner didn't show up, but we're happy you showed up. What, John?
Can I?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sure.
Through the chair, if I may make a comment, and I don't want to speak for Commissioner Turco, but it is a conversation I've had with him going on now a year, and he's very interested in facilitating inmates, helping. I've been sort of pursuing the municipality angle. Last year, the governor actually eased up on many of the restraints and things that were prohibiting these things to our municipalities. So he made that a little easier, and he's actually allowing if the institution opts to participate, go out into the municipality.
The screening criteria is eligible to go out.
One second.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
They're all eligible to go out, but it's optional. They have to actually show an interest in it, and they have to want to do it. And now part of the problem that I ran into in trying to institute some sort of program was paperwork, as always, and then of bureaucracy, screening inmates as they come in. Another thing that would have to be addressed was they come and go frequently. So someone who might have been of great interest and wanted to help you last year may have been released. So it's a constant update of the record. So I agree with you. I think step one is trying to create a process when they come in to indicate interest, that it can be expanded on greatly. But I don't want to speak for the commissioner, but he has been, in my opinion, very in favor of programs such as this. The other thing that I was informed about through the Sheriff's Department was there was a state-mandated formula, COs per inmate. And I've never really gotten a straight answer on this. I'm told it's 2 COs per 5. I guess it's 1 per 2.5. I don't know how you figure that out.
There's state regulations as to how many
correct inmates. Assigned to number of inmates. But when when the county prepared Flayland, for example, early spring, getting it ready, outstanding service from the inmates. They were ready, willing, and able. They stepped up, and they, quite frankly, between us girls here, they worked better than anyone they had ever had. So the workforce is there. I agree. It can be and should be utilized in a better way. But I do think they're willing to do so. I just think there's some steps and some, processes.
Speaking to the quality of the workers, one of the workers was doing so well that I asked permission to interview them, and I offered him a job.
Right.
Because he turned it down, he had something else in mind. But we have some pretty good workers there.
Right. The other thing I would say, if it's a matter of not letting people into the premise on site, if it's a matter of maybe another layer of security, maybe that's some way we can help there. Because certainly then you don't have to address the CO to inmate ratio. And then your workers can come in freely, securely, so
that's why I thought the COs who work in the shed, of course, in the garden, could be the COs.
So, common sense might say yes, but state may say, no, they can't do that. They just added another portion of their job that they're not mandated to do. So, in that level. So,
I do want to emphasize that this is an educational program. And we can match our program against a basketball program maybe that's going on, or a weightlifting program that's going on. Mm-hmm. So I think you have to, even though there's a lot of intangibles associated with education, but this horticultural program is put together in a good fashion. It's understandable. It's the buzzword across this country. And to force us into a situation where we don't have a good farm or a good garden is embarrassing.
Well, we appreciate, we need to move on. We appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much. I think, and again, appreciate John Norman's bringing this to our attention. The Public Safety Committee will certainly.
Thank you very much.
See if we get you some good news. Thank you so much. With that, I think I will entertain a motion to adjourn for the Public
so
Safety
moved.
Committee.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Harkins, second by Legislative Ryan. All in favor?
Aye.
Public Safety is adjourned. We will continue moving on with the Budget Committee and Public Works. The next item, I believe, moving on to item 7 on the budget agenda. Where is that for Public Works? 4609. This is Westchester Community College. The following item is 8-4-6, item 4610, two bond docs. Welcome to the community. Somebody from the gentlemen, welcome. These are items 4 and 5 on the Public Works agenda.
Excuse me, Mr.
7 and 8 on the budget.
If I may, I think they also have the two prior items, so while they're here, maybe we can do these two and then do the prior two since they're the same individuals.
Okay, that's fine. I believe it wasn't the housing piece, so he's kind of...
Right, after you entertain these two, we'll quickly do that. I'll adjourn.
Oh,
I mean,
you're
open
gonna,
it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Doing the least.
We're doing 7 and 8 on the budget committee, then we'll go back and do 5 and 6.
Right.
Thanks. Chairman, you want to
Well, good morning.
Good
just,
morning.
Just for our record, you know we're streaming live, so for our record, would you please state your name and position with Collins?
Sure. Of course. I'm Pat Napier. I'm the Vice President of Dean Administrative Services. We have Nicole Joseph. She's our director of our Austin Center. And Kevin Garvey, who is our director of facilities. We're here today. Thank you again for seeing us. We have a number of items, the first of which is a couple of capital projects. The first one is WCC 63, the site improvements, which includes parking lots, pathways, and kiosks. Again, I will give a brief description, and then I will have Kevin Garvey, our director of facilities, give you a more detailed description of
it.
We're happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you.
On WCC 63, what that project basically does is it allows us to enhance the pathway systems around the campus as well as around the student center, which is currently being renovated as we speak. That's project WCC 20. It also allows us to put in new kiosks, which are permanent at strategic walkway intersections, which will enable both the students and our visitors to get better information. One of the things that we do not have on campus is good signage, and we have not put in good signage primarily because we knew that this project was coming up. We don't spend money on signage because, you know, again, that would have cost us money, and we knew that this project was coming up, and with these permanent kiosks, that will be a major thing that we'll be able to enhance the campus. And finally is parking lots. This project will allow us to modify some of our parking lots to provide additional spaces, which we are currently in need of, which is a good thing. That's a good thing for us to have. If you come on campus at any time, fall and spring, you will see a lot of cars on the grass, and this will allow us to do that. The current the cost of this project is $2,168,000. That is the total cost of this project, split 50-50 between the state and the county. The county share of this project is $1,084,000, and the state has already agreed to fund 50% of the project. Okay, Kevin, why don't you provide a little bit more detail about the project?
Well, what Pat was saying, the big thing is the parking. We have people coming on the campus now that are parking on our grass, which we really don't want. So what we're looking to do is reconfigure the lots that we have right now and make them more manageable and with additional spots. The other thing would be the final tie-in with the walkway systems with these new kiosks. It's the whole beautification of the campus. And like I said before, if you've been onto the campus within the last 2 years, you'll see our new walkway system. It really enhances the beauty of the campus itself. So, and this will just finish that off.
All right, why don't we open the floor to questions on this proposed bond. Kevin, could you speak a little bit about the expansion of parking lot one? I think most of us have the general map of the campus in mind, but where is parking lot one, and how would we propose to expand the area of the parking lot for additional space?
Parking lot one is runs parallel to Grasslands Road. It's across from the administration building and across from the new Gateway building, if you've been up to the Gateway building. And so what we're looking to do is to take out all the brush that we can, working with county planning, of course, to make sure that we don't put in any more impervious surface than we have to. So everything that we do will be worked out with planning. But there are ways that we feel that we can configure the lot, especially if not just one, but 8 and 11 have these T's at the end, and we feel that if we work around the T's, we can do stuff to give us more parking spaces. So,
yeah. Just what is a T?
Oh, when the islands have a T at the end. Mm-hmm. So if we remove the T's or reduce the length of the T's, we feel that we can get more parking that way. Mm-hmm. So,
Star.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You alluded to the fact about the pervious pavement. Where the county is now as an MS4 under more stringent stormwater requirements. So right. Do you have accommodation for that?
It will be all of our drainage, again, will be part of that. We're working very closely now with planning, and we're also on your MS4 permit.
Right.
So everything that we do has to be coordinated with that as well. But I attend all of the meetings with planning to make sure that we're not creating an undue hazard for them. Because you know, sometimes we do fall off the radar, but now that we've been invited to come in and to coordinate what we're doing on campus with them as well. So
great, thank you.
You know, there's things out there with impervious block with pervious blocks,
right,
now
can,
and things like that. So
yeah.
That's really what we're going to be looking to do.
Impervious
so
asphalt.
Yeah, impervious
well.
Outfalls, blocks, things of that nature.
One thing, if I could just jump on that, if you are interested, go down to the county center parking lot.
Yes.
There, it's been done as a demonstration project to see all the different types of stormwater control things that can be done within parking lots, and it's fantastic. And I think the community college could really benefit from utilizing
and
some of those
we'll
techniques.
Do.
I mean, it's rain gardens, it's everything.
And all as our projects move forward, we're incorporating more rain gardens and things of that nature into all these projects. There's a big rain garden. We have one right now in the Native Plant Center.
Yes.
And a part of the renovations to the Student Center, there will be a new rain garden as
great.
Well. Too. So.
This committee, along with budget, has handled a number of WCC projects in recent weeks. Our last meeting, the full board approved a number of them. And they were all advanced with the knowledge that the required funding to cover the costs basically comes from both the county government and the state government. Could you just explain that for the record as to the extent of our involvement with this?
Absolutely. We're fortunate that on just about every project that we do, we share 50-50, or the state shares 50-50 in those projects. This is one of those projects, and the next one we spoke about, and the ones that we spoke about last week, the state will share 50-50 in those projects. So the good thing about this is that we don't spend any money before we have approval from the state and the county approves it. So, again, we don't always have, and in fact, we very rarely have the state bond for those projects until the county approves, but the projects are approved. So what ends up happening is we'll have state approval on a project, the county will approve, and then we'll go back to the state and file DASNY applications for the state to approve the project. Okay, so worst case scenario, let's assume worst case scenario where we have the state approve a project in their budget, we come to the county and the county approves the project, and then the state comes back and says to us, you know, we're going to unfund that project. You might have approved the project, but we would not have spent any money. So we would come back and say to the county, you know what, the state's unfunded that project. So you approved it, but we haven't spent any money, so that project's not going to
be. That's an important piece of information, especially from those around the county that are perhaps watching this meeting or the way in which the meeting is reported. We have close to $2.2 million in proposed site improvements, and of course, the county only funding about $1,698,000 of that. So that's a very good relationship between us and the state for the advancement of needed capital work.
Mr. Ryan, it's a great point, because really the county is funding 50 cents on the dollar on those capital projects, right. And we own, you know, the county owns all of those buildings, so it's a good deal if we do it.
I think the goal of trying to get more parking spaces is a good one. Without micromanaging, I might suggest that if for every compact hybrid comes in, you promise that student at least one A+. Compact hybrids up there.
I like that.
Better than free parking.
That's right.
One thought about the anticipated interest rate. See, I mean, I know this was done in July, changes, but hopefully, just the committee, hopefully, given what interest rates are, we might even do better. When we go into the market, I guess, in November. So you see that it's anticipated 2.674. Hopefully, we'll do even better, and the numbers will be even better from November when our crack investors go out into the marketplace and maybe we sell these bonds. Okay, any other questions on this item?
Thank you. I didn't see it here, but maybe it's something you have, but can you tell me what the ratio is of the $1 million towards the kiosk and the signage? And how much of that is going actually towards the parking lots?
We don't have that breakdown right now because we haven't done design yet. So once we have the design, I can get that back to you. But I don't have a percentage yet. The master plan just says this is what we want to do, and then the budget is set by that. But I don't have that number.
You wouldn't want to venture again. I'm just curious. It seems like signage is nice to have.
The signage is probably 10 to 15% of it, and then the rest of it is for the pathways and parking.
And parking.
Yes.
And as Mr. Harkin mentioned, the MS4 regulations push them that are unfunded, so that's a big portion of it, I'm sure. If you could just send me a copy when you have it, but I'd be interested in looking at that.
Legislator Williams makes a good point. The signage on the campus leaves a lot to be desired.
It sure does.
It's a very large facility, and this kind of information is
It's an excellent point, and there's not a day that we go out where a student doesn't say, can you tell us where the student center is or where AAB is? And, you know, this is not Cornell University or Harvard, but, you know, in terms of size. But it is still daunting when you come on campus, whether it be a visitor or a student, and they come off of a parking lot and don't know where they're going. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Legislator Shumsky.
I can attest to that fact because I've gotten lost on your campus on several occasions. And another problem, and this is a problem, it's not just Westchester Community College, but there are a lot of places in certain parts of this county and in other counties where I'm unfamiliar, where I may end up having a breakdown and buy a GPS simply because there's no signage. And you can't figure out where it is you're supposed to turn. And signs, the roads and pathways are of limited usefulness if people don't understand how to use them to get to where they want to go.
The county attorney provides you legal services?
Yes.
Just a question on the seeker, because I know, you know, the signage and kiosks, but again, the question came up, you know, to how much money is going for the parking, and there's a lot of the design work has been done. You're operating off the master, the generic EIS.
But generic environmental impact statement.
Right,
yes.
Generic, but it just seems to me, once we figure out how much parking, even just a one-page environmental assessment saying, you know, that it's not a wetlands, you know, right there, the documentation seems to say you're not doing anything at all. And I just think it's a governmental decision. And once you get to that point in the design, I think even just a one-pager kind of, it's not in the wetlands, no endangered species, they were there, you know. I might just, I'm not trying to play lawyer, but
no.
It's a suggestion. But with that, I guess it's...
Any other questions? Okay, I'd say a motion then from both committees.
So move for Public Works.
Public Works. Motion for Legislative Spectrum for budget.
Second for Public Works.
We have our seconder over here.
Okay. Second it for budget.
Okay. Very good. Any final discussion? Hearing none, all in favor for both committees?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, well, these two bond acts, this bond act rather, is for the next bond act deals with renovations to the Health Science Building.
That's correct. WC 67, this building was built in 1954 and is in need of renovations. So if approved, this project would allow renovations both to the interior and exterior of the building, including ceilings, flooring, lighting, and substantial renovations to the building mechanicals, such as electrical, plumbing, and HVAC. On the exterior of the building, we would replace the windows, as well as resurface some of the exterior walls, which would hopefully lead the building to be more energy efficient. Total project cost is estimated at $2,362,000. Again, the county share of this would be $1,181,000, 50% of the total cost. Mm-hmm. Kevin, do you want to give a little bit more of a description?
Well, like Pat said, the building is from 1954. One half of the building is an old greenhouse. So we're looking to go in and to renovate that part of it. And also, we replaced the boilers a number of years ago, so this would be to replace the HVAC equipment, upgrade the plumbing, upgrade the electrical service that comes into the building, or actually inside the building, and also the fire alarm panel. It's one of the last major buildings from the 1999 master plan that we will be renovating. So there's a couple more, but this is one of the last of the classroom-utilized buildings.
And the majority of the structure, it is what you mentioned, is wood.
I'm sorry?
It's wood.
No, it's stone construction.
Stone construction.
Yeah.
And there's an attachment to it.
It's a greenhouse attachment. Yes,
right. Okay.
Which is steel and glass.
Yeah, okay.
And so that what we try to do is minimize that to, as Pat said, make it more energy efficient as possible.
And I know the exterior work include window replacement, resurfacing exterior walls. What would that involve?
Well, like I said, it would probably be the removal of the glass and putting in energy efficient panels, whatever the building material would be to get it up to that speed.
Uh huh. Okay. All right.
Any of the stucco that has to be redone, any of the exterior painting that has to be done, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Legislator Hartman.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Given the age of the facility, is asbestos going to be an issue?
There could be asbestos. It would probably be part of the design, yes.
And is there money, because that remediation can be very expensive, as we found out with the Playland bathhouse. Is there some sort of contingency fund for that? Because that can be a real budget buster.
It would be just what we have inside the budget that you see before you, that we would use those funds.
But and that's part of that?
Yes. Yes, as all of our projects are.
Any other questions from budget? I guess we're, again, looking at... same interest rate. No other questions from Legislator Kaczynski?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To what extent is the desire to increase energy efficiency playing a role in the decisions that are being made about these renovations?
It's
paramount. Every project that we do, involves energy efficiency. And we can say that. We talk about that all the time. But it really has come true. And if you looked at our budget this year that the board obviously was kind enough to pass, you can see that in our utilities. Although our utilities did go up this year, it didn't go up because we're using more utilities. It went up because the price of utilities went up. Because what we're doing in most of our construction, all of our construction projects, is using things such as dual fuel boilers, which gives us the ability to go to other sources of fuel, when one source is higher than the other. So, for example, when it's colder, and Kevin can give you more of this, you know, I'm the CPA, and he's more the facilities guy. But, you know, when oil's cheaper, we use oil. When natural gas is cheaper, we go to natural gas, and it gives us the ability to do that. So in all of our projects, we are replacing older, inefficient type of systems with more efficient things. So that has been, you know, and again, the county deserves credit, the state deserves credit for allowing us to move forward with these projects, but it has helped us. It has helped us in that particular phase of our operations.
And also, we go to NYPA with all of our plans, and they review our plans for energy efficiency to make sure that we're using the most efficient technology that's out there. So it's not just the architects and our eyes that are looking at it, but we have an outside group that is looking at it as well, because we get our power eventually, you know, essentially from NYPA. So all of us cooperate, and it's worked out very well so far.
Do you have a sense of how big a reduction in energy consumption you might have in this building as a result of?
I don't have it yet because I don't know what we're going to select. So all it right. would be hard for me to okay. give you a number.
It would be really useful to follow up on that at some point.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's a very good point. I mean, considering what's there now and the possibility of, you know, different external skin and the new energy efficient windows, the substantial windows in one of the buildings.
Yes.
Just a final question. The recent work on the building, I mean, this building is 57 years old. You're advising us now that it's in need of substantial work, but there has been other work done to the building along the way. Just can you capsulize that for us as to what that work involved?
Other than the boilers that were involved, but the interior work, I'm sure, nothing has been done large since I've been there for 6 years. So it's not, you know, a typical 1954 building. So, I mean, I there's new renovations. When the building was first built, like I said, it was part of it was a greenhouse. Mm-hmm. So that has been removed. The overall structure of the greenhouse is there, so all of the offices that are in there now are new.
Yeah.
It's used for the nursing curriculum, pulmonary curriculum. So if you walk in, and I'm sure in 1954 when it was built, I don't think that curriculum was there. So now when you walk into the building on the one half, you see it's almost like hospital rooms, hospital bedrooms with classroom settings as well.
Yeah. So. No, you're absolutely right. I mean, for years it was strictly science and biology, and that, you know, that kind of thing.
The oil tank, is part of this process, is it 57 years old? Is this the original oil tank?
No. Our oil tanks are within the 1990s. I can tell you that because we're just filing with the Department of Health for our new permit. So all of our oil tanks are going out for quality testing this year. So that's part. In fact, the rec was just written up, so no, none of our, we don't have 54-year-old oil tanks.
Right, so you're not the other, and so there's gas service to the building now?
No, but we will be bringing gas service to the building as part of this project.
Okay, that was to get the dual fuel, so you'll have yes. gas, because looking to the foreseeable future, it would appear that
natural gas would be right.
final fuel, which would be
correct.
Expensive.
So our goal is to get all of these boilers onto dual fuel. Okay. That's our goal.
This kind of college going to have to run running that gas pipe is not inexpensive. Is that part of this project?
We also have the other project that which we did last week was the utility and infrastructure. Right. So okay. part of both of those.
WCC 65. Right. Right.
Yes.
Right. So the gas lines will be working. That's not an inexpensive
right.
project that you're running. Okay. But that's good.
Yeah.
You go right direction to a fuel.
Okay. Any other questions for both committees?
Motions?
Tom, go ahead, Chief.
Move for, I guess, for both committees? Mm-hmm. Please. Second for both committees?
Second for Public Works Budget.
Okay, so Public Works and Budget has second. All in favor?
Aye.
Both committees. Any opposed? Okay, I just passed for both committees. Thank you. So that bond act is approved. And now we have Pete, you want to work on behalf of housing?
Yeah, on behalf of Chairman Burton, I would call the Committee of Housing Planning and Operations to order. We have a quorum, and just since we have a separate set of minutes, if you wouldn't mind again, I apologize, going around and just telling us who you are for the record.
Kevin Garvey, Director of the Physical Plant at Westchester Community College.
Don McLeod from the Law Department.
Mary Mann, County Executive's Office.
Kathy Imperio, Vice President, Dean of Administrative Services.
Nicole Joseph, Director of the Academic Extension Center.
All right, thanks. So we have a lease for the community college in Ossining.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. This is a 10-year lease extension. I would note, and I guess it's up, Mary, yes. Well, let me first question. Was this lease negotiated by you, by the county, or by the community college?
I think it was a collective effort. When I arrived, there had been an initial request for an offer, and an offer had been made. I think my first conversation with Pat was that he, quite reasonably, was unhappy with that initial offer. So over the past year, the exercise has been to improve on that offer, and we have collectively been in communication constantly as to how to do that. If briefly, the offer came in with an increase in rent from $12 a square foot to $15 a square foot. Both the college and I at the county independently verified the comps within the area and was satisfied that it was still well below comps. It's a triple net lease in a shopping center. The name of the shopping center is?
Arcadia
and Ossining. So that wasn't the main concern. The main concern was, as a triple net lease, the Nicole, as the administrator of it, was concerned that there was no money in the lease for improvements that were now needed to be done after 10 years. And the experience of the college was the HVAC systems were unreliable and needed a high degree of maintenance. And one had indeed stopped functioning and had to be replaced by the college at a cost of $50,000. There were three more equally old HVAC units on the roof, and the concern was going to a new lease for 10 years, anticipating another $50,000 capital cost to replace the HVAC units. Erstock Biddle was initially intractable. It's a triple net lease, and it's all yours from this point forward. Over the course of time, we just kind of stood our ground that in this economy, a 10-year lease with a creditworthy client like Westchester Community College deserved better than that. And it remained a very, very collegial discussion. And so the offer was bettered to a $15,000 contribution to improvements, but no contribution or no change of responsibility on the HVAC.
What was the size of the additional contribution?
$15,000. So, again, we kept talking and suggesting that the college had, again, facing a 10-year lease in this environment, you get a landlord contribution that really does enable you to do the improvements. Nicole did a lot of assessment of what improvements needed to be done, got them estimated, and it came to $31,000 and change. We presented the specific improvements with specific dollars to Erstock Biddle, and after lengthy consideration, they agreed to be responsible for each improvement. With respect to the HVAC, that was the tougher negotiation, and once again, we said we understand it's a triple net lease, but these are outside the building. If you have four units, the college has more than stepped up to 50% of the obligation by replacing the largest unit at $50,000 in the past year, and that is as far as we're going to go. And then they agreed that they would replace any or all of the remaining three HVAC units should they fail to perform over the course of the 10-year lease. So with that, I think we accomplished what the college's goals were in terms of the economics of the lease. So from that standpoint, we felt that we've gotten a fair response. And then Nicole's here to address the development of the programmatic issues of the college and why this space remains very important to them.
Well, maybe before we get to the programmatic, we can discuss that today. I mean, I think you've been there for 10 years. I guess a quick question, I assume you still need the space. You're not downsizing, right?
We're definitely expanding.
Is the budget here, it's nice to know, but that's not is our priority. We make an assumption you need it, but maybe not, maybe you get rid of it. But without getting into the details, there's all kinds of negotiating, because you know, the first question, when do you decide it needs to be replaced versus just repaired? Are you going to take all the repair expenses? It's only when it gets to the point it needs to be replaced, then the
A feature of this lease as a triple net lease is that the college has had and will continue to have the obligation to maintain a contract for maintenance and repair.
Yeah, well, you know, again, the very fact that under the existing lease, sounds like in the last year of his lease as well, the college had to spend $50,000 on a replacement, tells me that 10 years ago the lease was done and wasn't done very well. That never should have happened. There's all kinds of ways of putting in limits. You know, just because it's triple net, the landlord's going to tell you it's triple net, but, you know, many times it's like, all right, the first $500 of the repair is the tenant, and over that, the landlord's like, because you need a mechanism, the landlord will come back, well, it's $4,000 of repairs. It doesn't quite need to be replaced yet, and you could get these debates, so you really should have, like, a trigger, but it's $200, $500, $700, and after that, the landlord participates. And then the landlord tells, well, maybe instead of keep repairing, it is time to replace, because you'll be in a fight. I'm going to tell you, does it need to be repaired or replaced? Especially if people are paying for it. So if the landlord is a partner on the repairs over a certain amount, it's a more collegial approach, because it is, that's what the lease says. So don't get, you know, triple net. There's all kinds of ways, especially because I see that as a conflict. It's going to happen.
To that point,
it's not quite ready to be replaced. Yes, but the hard
just to that point, for the folks who are listening at home and for the record, please explain what a triple net lease is, because you know there's so many different types of leases that
a triple net lease is that although you're a tenant, you have all the perquisites of ownership and maintaining the building, and it is a retail facility. And the retail facilities are maintained on that basis. And although this is an educational facility, it is they fall within the same protocol.
But Mr. Burton is not here. It's his district, and I spoke to him briefly about it. This is, and I'm familiar with the shopping center itself, but this is not in a retail, you know, store. Is there some kind of a warehouse? Is this another building?
It is within the shopping center.
It's within the shopping center parameters, but it's not like walking into a shoe store. Mr. Burton told me this was a distributing outfit. Is this a warehouse? More of a warehouse or an office building type of?
It used to be a distribution.
It's a
standalone building. And we occupy approximately half of the building.
Is it two stories, three stories?
It's one story.
Oh, one story. Okay.
And on the other side is Phelps Memorial. Not Phelps Memorial, but they have an outpatient service. And then we have Wallovers and a dollar store on the other side.
I see.
And then we occupy the entire.
And how many parking spaces do you get allocated? Is there a specific allocation of parking spaces?
I don't know the exact number of parking spaces, but we have a large lot of about, I would say maybe 100 cars could fit in there.
So has that ever been an issue in the last 10 years, parking?
Parking is actually not an issue.
So that's making it more students, hopefully it will be an issue. So that's not, but does the lease address that? Can the landlords cut you off after a certain number? Can they mark those spaces?
In terms of parking?
Parking.
No. And we're also adjacent to a large Stop and Shop.
Right.
And as we said, we're part of a mall, so it's right. never been.
Okay. Mr. R.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Couple questions. One is, we know how successful the satellite campuses have been. You said, if anything, you're expanding. Do you have the ability within that facility to expand? Is there something in the lease that will allow you to take over adjacent space to expand?
I'm sorry, when I meant expand programmatically.
Okay.
And part of the lease, what we've asked for, is some of the improvements would be to install, we're going to create another lab because our focus is science and health.
Okay.
And so for our non-credit, not to go too much into the program part of it, our non-credit really have healthcare certificates have been very successful. And we're also expanding in our credit program with offering veterinary tech as a credit certificate, which we're starting this fall. So in order to do that, we have one healthcare lab, which at this point, it's full all the time. So we are actually putting in another sink and improvements to another another classroom to make that a second lab. So with that, we are expanding our ability to put in more healthcare programs, credit and non-credit.
All right, and then the other question I have is more about the competitiveness of the lease. You had addressed the comparables, but did either you or the community college sit down with any other landlords in the area and even in an informal way and say, you know, we've got to renew where we are. Can you make us an offer?
Well, I didn't sit down with a landlord. We did speak to someone who's helped us with the lease in the past, and he was a real estate agent, and he gave us some comps in 2010, a space of about, it ranged from $9,500 to $22,000, depending on the square footage. So we found that in terms of comparable space, and they use office space within Ossining, that this was a competitive rate.
We also made phone calls to landlords in the area to see if there was comparable space within the time frame needed. And because, as you know, this lease has expired and we're paying on a holdover basis, and there was nothing comparable at the time. You know, I don't think there was any space available, which met our needs, but on top of that, it would not have been priced better than what this current lease is.
All right, well, certainly not having space available is critical.
A couple other questions, because, you know, we're a little concerned that the timing, I mean, everyone knows when lease is going to expire, and you said you had some conversations, but this is now September. What rent have you been paying since January? The old rent or the new rent?
We were paying we were paying 1.25% above the $12 per square foot above, so we were paying over $13 a square foot. They will credit that towards whatever.
But they're gonna go back and.
Yes.
You didn't try to negotiate that out. I mean, but we really, you know, from our perspective, we're not terribly happy that you're 9 months behind. I mean, we should have been sitting here September last year, frankly, getting ready for the new lease. So, you know, you have leases on your system. This is not good coming 9 months late. You should be 3 months early. So, just for the record, next time.
No, this delay is candidly were largely driven by the landlord. We were back and forth for months on end, waiting for callbacks, et cetera. We were not a high priority.
Well, then, you know, we shouldn't necessarily reward the landlord. We're not necessarily happy paying the $15 or going back to January. That could still be a negotiation, frankly. But on top of that, in a way to help the negotiation in this market, it seems to me you need 12,000 square feet. You can go out in this market. It may not be on the same area, and I know parking could be the difference, but did you explore purchasing a building? And the theory that you've been set there at least 10 years now, we think the Ossining satellite is established, between purchasing it and then paying low interest mortgage, no taxes, the numbers probably make $188,000 a year. You probably could pay significantly less than buying a building. Now again, you need the building and the parking, and that the parking creates some problems. The nice place we have now is that you do have access to a lot of parking. But did you explore in the last year? That also helps negotiations with the landlord. They don't think they have you as a captive, but if they go out to the marketplace, there's nothing comparable, let's charge what we wanted. If you said, well, we might just buy someplace, that could shake them up with. Is that part of like the master plan, purchasing a building?
It's not part of the master plan, no. No.
Because, you know, long term, why rent all these years? You know, in theory, we should be looking, especially in this marketplace with these interest rates, we could save many, many, many thousands of dollars. Hesitant, frankly, to enter into a 10-year lease when...
We certainly did not suggest that, you know, we were married to this space or this landlord. We did not explore purchasing a building.
Well, and signing a 10-year lease, you're married to it for 10 years.
To the extent, notwithstanding the gaps in time in communication, we use those to explore informally other options, and we found that we were getting closer each time to a better deal on this deal by letting it kind of percolate along the way it did. So while I regret the length of time it took, when we first discussed this lease with that landlord, the things we got were non-starters. So it was over the course of the year that we got the benefits that were important to the college.
Well, with all due respect, $31,000 over 10 years is not, I'm not, in this market, landlords are giving 1 year free rent. I mean, they, you know, just to have a, as you said, AAA tenant. We should be paying below market, because not everyone else out there, before you know it, that tenant is out and the landlord sucks. So they're getting 10 years, AAA tenant. So this should be the best deal. And I don't see a whole lot of concessions here, but I'm most concerned when you're not even looking at potential to purchase. Because we bonded, we don't have to find a lot of cash up front. And I would think if we were saving $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 on the operating budget, because these dollars come out of your operating budget, I assume.
Comes out of the satellite budget.
Yeah, that's a significant. So I'm disappointed that you didn't even explode in this market. And it comes back to the, I know, Mayor, you wear many hats in the county, but the county doesn't officially have a dedicated real estate person. And honestly, this seems like one of the projects of someone going back a year ago, as the market has only stayed the same or gotten worse. Between the county and the college, because there's dual responsibility, not to even think of purchasing is disappointing, to say the least, because that has many, many thousands of dollars associated. Now, there's nothing within 10 miles. I mean, you want to be somewhere in the area. I appreciate that, but you're not coming back to the board, to us, to say, here's what we looked at. You know, we've been through this before. We've made the administration come back with matrices and
different
locations.
Significant costs went into the developing space when we first went in, and I think the county's portion of that was over $1.2 million 10 years ago, and we didn't have the discussion candidly, myself and representatives of the college, about buying, because I inferred, and certainly that recapturing the funds that went in, it was a commitment to stay there longer. It was a space that worked for them. Now, clearly, we were not going to do something that was, from a market standpoint, outrageous. But I think having made a significant financial contribution to the space at the outset of the first lease, there was a strong preference to stay in place and maintain the presence there at this time if the terms were reasonable.
Well, I understand that, but this will do a real estate analysis that, of course, is amortized over 10 years. And you know, again, I don't want to say to take a lot of the community's time, but there's analysis that should have been done to make those comparisons. And you take that into account, take the parking into account. There's got to be an available building with parking down the street, but, you know, but at least the committee would feel better if you did that analysis and came back and said, no, this makes the most sense, and that's fine. But we're just operating in the vacuum. Right, purely from a retail point of view, the rent makes sense. It's in a retail shopping center. Even from an office point of view, it's, you know, the numbers are okay because they are getting a good tenant. But those costs can be amortized. How much you have to spend if you went to a new building, and that also be a factor. What's the new investments? I appreciate all that, but we're not seeing it. So my recommendation to the administration is get a little more focused. What other real estate leases are coming up? I don't think this committee wants to see come here next month another lease that's 9 months into the new. And I don't know if there's anything out there, but focus on the real estate. Real estate is a very big function of our county and counties around the country. And I hope, and we used to get an annual listing of all the leases and what's coming up. And hopefully you're working on that. Anyway, I'm sorry to break the time. Any other committee members have any?
Well, the question is, what is the absolute timing on this, given Chairman Rogowski's concerns?
We're in the space. We at the college are not in the business of real estate. We operate an educational institution. We look, and this is no disrespect to Mary and her staff. They help us out a great deal. We're not in the business. Mr. Gossi, you make some very good points, but we're not in the business of searching out for buildings and so on and so forth. We don't do that.
You learn your lesson from Jockey Shopping Center.
Yeah, so we look for direction from the county in that particular area. So again, those are great points. We pushed. We knew that the deal that was originally presented to us, we weren't happy with. We pushed back. As we did on a number of our other leases, and Mary and her staff helped us to get to a point that we could at least tolerate. We could not tolerate the fact that we would be responsible for replacing what we believe is capital infrastructure. We weren't going to agree to a deal like that. Unfortunately, you know, this lease that should have been negotiated started to be negotiated well before I got to the college, you know, and well before Mary was here, you know, started to be negotiated, you know, when I got there, which left us in a position where, you know, we didn't have a lot of chance to negotiate. And these landlords are smart. You know, they knew that we put $1.2 million into a site, and where were we going to go and develop classroom space. If we were looking for office space, much, much easier to negotiate. So, you know, they know that. So to get what we got, you know, when we were negotiating office space, for example, for our EOC, we got 5 months worth of free rent. We got 5 months of free rent. We got a lot of upgrades. This is classroom space. It's a little bit different for us. Again, we appreciate what you're saying, because in this market, we should be able to do better. And anything we can do better saves us money. But we need that help from the county, because we don't have that expertise, you know, at the college to be able to do that.
And I guess, was the committee given a copy of the lease? Was that forwarded? Should we actually get a physical copy of this? I'm always a little uncomfortable signing up on lease, and you know,
even our staff. Well, yes, on the timing. Yeah.
There is a draft amendment extension agreement that we could get to you.
Yeah, because you're basically staying with the main lease with extension. I think to Pete's point, I mean, they're operating with the arrangement they have, so I don't think it's.
The other thing to that point, if we can get that this week, we have another meeting next week before our board meeting. So, if we can get that to both committees today or tomorrow, our staffs and our legislators can look at it, and then we'll put this item back on both agendas next week. So we'll be sure to have another joint with HPO and budget, and we can pass it then. It would be for the same evening meeting anyhow.
That's a great point, Mr. Harkin makes. So I think if we can submit the draft, you know, the lease extension agreement to the committees, we can get it done before the next meeting. So I think with that suggestion, then we'll just set
okay.
it aside.
So with that, do we have a thank you all very much.
I apologize. Do we move it to the public hearing piece at this point and then supply you with the third amendment? I don't know what the timing is.
We could take, and I assume we get the documents as a question, we can...
We still vote it out. We have to vote it out for public hearing, so it's
right.
not like so we'd be speeding one up than the other.
Still next week. You're not missing out any time.
Okay.
We
right.
have October 3rd anyway, so...
Okay.
You have a week or several days to get documents to the committees. And
it's right. not like the public hearing would be next week.
Okay.
Okay. Appreciate that. So there's no should be no loss of time, hopefully, and won't affect anything. But I think to do our, I was more comfortable with having documentation on hand to know what we're signing out. Okay, so I think that.
Thank you very much. And with that, we'll take a motion to close HPO.
Well, I think you have.
It was both items.
Public health, public hearing.
The court is an aye. Sorry.
We didn't vote on anything.
Okay.
No, we're going to get a copy of the lease, and then we'll do it next time.
Pat, thank you. Thank you for coming.
Thanks. That would be great. Yeah, the committee chairs will. Actually, you may not need to.
Pat, I don't think the college. We appreciate you
right.
today. You don't need to come back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come
back.
Yes.
Why
yes. Thank you, Mary. And the county attorney's office
thank
too.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Thanks, Pete.
Yeah. Thank you.
So okay. So you adjourned.
We've adjourned.
Okay. So Pat, we said a few other items. I appreciate the length of the meeting, but it's We have item 11. We have like four more items, five more items. Item 11 and 12 on budgets. Item 11, the roof, let's do it. Item 11, 4445 on budget is roof replacement, the Yonkers Joint Treatment.
So item 3 on Public Works.
Good morning. I'm Mike Coley from Deputy Commissioner from DEF. This
Welcome.
First item, the.
It's not the whole roof, I hope.
It's the roof on the screen and grit building. It's one roof of many roofs. This is a CBA. We had this project program for 2011, and at the end of last year, we didn't get the planning department approval, so we had to put it in again this year. This is a project that we're asking for design, construction, management, and construction in the amount of $650,000. The design and CM is being done in-house by DPW. We're very interested in this project because, as you know, Yonkers has a lot of projects going on, in particular the HVAC project, which is going to be in the same building. They're going to be cutting holes in the roof, and so we want to get this project going so we can coordinate that, particularly so they cut the hole in the roof and then we put the new roof on rather than vice versa. We're also putting in part of a project that we hope to go to bid with at the end of October to replace the emergency generator. We're putting brand new switchgear on the second floor of this building in the vicinity of the area where the roof is leaking. So to coordinate with those other two projects is important to us, even though it's not a huge project in terms of the money. It's a very important project for us.
What the potential project that's the only hope that ANC is soon on the flare reduction and putting in the engines to... Is that on this roof? Is that someplace else?
That's someplace else. The anaerobic digester gas generator.
Okay,
that's in a different building.
Okay, fine.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Putting on my environment and energy hat, the question that we've been asking for years is, when we put a new roof on, the ability for solar panels. Have you looked at that? And is it would be considered a good candidate for that?
We haven't even started design yet, so I don't see why we can't look at that. As you know, we do have solar panels on the administration
right.
building roof. But this roof isn't near that big. I'm not
okay.
sure how many panels would be up there. And the first thing is to get the equipment from the HVAC project installed and then see how much room there is for those.
Okay. And again, it's always the consideration. It's not the mandate to do it. But
right.
but certainly if the record would note that for the design process to consider the feasibility of that, and then if feasible to come back to us with a recommendation, that would be... my preference.
We'll do that.
Thank you.
Public Works, have any questions on this proposed bonding legislation?
Suggest a roof garden?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say green roof. Got a lot of fertilizer.
Right. Pump it upstairs, right?
Yeah.
Why did planning not give you the approval you needed last year?
It came to the end of the year, and I think it was just a scheduling of the meetings.
Any questions? Public Works. Have a motion for both committees? Or
some of them.
Did you lose both committees?
Budget
second.
Public Works and Budget. We have a second for Public Works and Budget. Second for Public Works and
Budget. This will be these taxes will work in the office soon.
All okay. in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Okay, that amendment is passed. We have North Yonkers pump station upgrade, number 124616.
This project is for upgrades at the North Yonkers pump station. We're asking for design and construction management in the amount of $1,100,000. There are really two components to this. The first component is repair of structural defects that were identified in the 2009 report. For instance, the front stairs, we need pretty extensive concrete rehabilitation in the pump room, repair some of the roof trusses. And the second part of the project is to replace the influence screen machines, which screen the wastewater coming into that plant. Those screens are at the end of their useful life, and we'd also like to install what are called screening compactors, one for each screen. And what those compactors do is there's a washing mechanism to wash fecal matter out of the screens, which will help us reduce odors. And the compactors dry the screens so that they're easier to handle when they're finished.
With the last major storms we've had in the last several weeks, did this pump station run into some problems with the handling the capacity?
Lots of flow. We did have an issue where we took all the flow and we're pumping all the flow we could and having a CSO, and we removed or blew off a couple of watertight covers on Alexander Street. It was definitely just more capacity than we could handle.
No wash over to the Hudson, no major issues like that.
A CSO event. as a permitted event.
Okay. Is it combined sewer?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's in the combined sewer area in Yonkers.
So that closes about it. Bernice, any questions? Any questions, anybody? For both committees, any motion? Bernice for budget, and Judy for public works. Second for legislative Williams. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, so it's passed for both committees.
Never heard.
Thank you. And I think we have one more item.
A couple more items.
Is that North Yonkers Pump Station bulkhead? 4615. Yes.
This project is requesting $100,000 for a study and preliminary design, which will involve inspecting and evaluating the integrity of the bulkhead at the North Yonkers Pump Station. And the bulkhead is what separates the land from the Hudson River here. In this case, it's a wooden bulkhead. The bulkhead's been there as long as the pumping station has, which is the 1930s. And we have gotten some communications from the Yonkers Rowing Club that they feel we should look at this. We've taken a look at it and agree it's time to do the study and get a recommendation on what we should do for rehab. Mm-hmm.
Any questions? It's pretty straightforward. We've handled this type of project in recent weeks. I'd entertain a motion from Public Works.
So moved.
From budget.
So moved. And I'll second. This is the North.
Second vote. Okay. Any final discussion? Being none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. This item is recorded as well.
Okay.
Final item 4614.
A very similar project. We're requesting $100,000 for a study at the Port Chester Wastewater Treatment Plant to inspect and come up with recommendations for rehabilitation of their bulkhead. It's a little different in Port Chester. There are two separate bulkheads, a stone bulkhead that was built with the original primary treatment facility, and then a later steel bulkhead that was built back in the 70s when the plant was upgraded to secondary treatment. But again, it's an important piece of the property, and we want to get a study and a recommendation.
Any questions? A motion for Public Works.
So moved.
Motion for budget. Second. A motion, a second for Public Works. Motion for budget. Mrs. Sprechman. A second.
Second.
Okay. Second. Mrs. Myers. Okay. All in favor? Both committees.
Aye.
Opposed.
Aye.
Okay. That's that. Thank you.
Thank you,
Commissioner. Very good.
All right. We have. There's one other item on. The gentleman still, they left?
Yes.
Okay, so there's this item, it's a communication on the CBAC consolidation analysis report.
We are going to, if I may, to the chair, we are going to actually delay that until next Monday. And we're also going to invite the Charter Review Commission folks in, because I think this is something very valuable for them to listen to as well. And it falls right in line. So it would be budget, GRES, and hopefully the Charter Review people meeting together on Monday with at the regularly scheduled budget time.
Terrific. Thank you. So put that aside. With that, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Yeah, minutes.
Monday, September 19th for budget. We'll have a take a quick look at it. It's in front of you.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Harkin. Do I have a second for this budget meeting minutes? Second by Mr. Williams. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Minutes are approved. And with that, Mr. Chairman, we're all set, I think.
We're all set.
Entertain a motion to adjourn for both committees.
So moved.
For second by Harkin. Second by. Ms. Freckman, all in favor? We stand adjourned. 12:01.
We have two more items I just wanted to add. Wait, one minute.
I don't know what this is. That came through.
Do we know what this is?